الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم إن شاء الله. Just a very short reminder today. One of the things that is important for an individual is to have a very clear idea of what is afflicting them. Because until you really know and have a good diagnosis, it's very hard to treat the ailment. In fact, if a person has the wrong diagnosis or doesn't understand the gravity of the disease that they're suffering from, then it's very easy to blow it off, take it lightly, or prescribe the wrong treatment, which can be extremely detrimental because it allows the disease to progress to a point where it could perhaps not even be curable. Spiritual diseases work in very much the same way. And one of these particular diseases is the love of the dunya. And a lot of times people, when they think about love of the dunya, they see it as something which is optional, something which is, this is for people who really want to be spiritual. It's a nice to have to take this seriously. But they don't see it as dangerous in the same way that they see, for example, drinking alcohol or, eating pork or something like this. They view those as, those are seminal sins and they're very deleterious. But they don't see the love of the dunya in the same way. Again, relegating it to those people who are trying to reach some type of spiritual heights. When in fact, what we do know is حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ, that the love of the dunya is at the heart, if you do a root cause analysis, is at the heart of every type of sin. And when people don't have that appreciation of how deleterious and how pernicious love of the dunya can be, then it's very easy not to take it seriously. And one of the other things that people don't realize is just how deep the roots run for the love of the dunya. And the people will oftentimes sort of brush it off and say that, I only have, minimize it, saying, it's just a little bit, or maybe, I just have a thing for cars, I love cars, or I love houses, I love clothes, it's just something that's my hobby, something that I enjoy. But that's usually a sign of something that runs much, much deeper. So for example, if you want to topple a tree, if you think that the roots are very superficial, then you won't necessarily apply much pressure or worry much about toppling the tree because you said, the roots are very, very superficial. However, when you actually go to topple the tree, then you find that the roots have actually run really deep into the ground, then you know you're in real trouble and you might not even be able to topple the tree because its roots run so deep. If a person sees a body of water and the water they deem the water to be very shallow, so then they just walk into the water and they think, nothing's going to happen, it's just very shallow water. And until they take that one step and then they drop off that cliff and then they plunge deep into the water and they find out it's very, very, very deep. And that is the nature of the love of the dunya, that this is something which has very deep roots and it's a very deep abyss. And the proof for this comes from the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the love that a person would have, for example, for the dunya. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. So over here, it was enough to say that a person has love of wealth. But over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, use so many elements of taqeed and emphasis to just show how deep and how... So there's inna, that brings taqeed or emphasis. لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ شَدِيد, right? Obviously, it didn't say that they just love wealth. It's shadid, it's severe. It shows a degree of hyperbole and something being extreme. And he didn't just say shadid, he said la shadid, that it is truly severe and powerful in their love for wealth. And one of the manifestations that should be able to really quickly convince any listener that this is the case is just think about the things that we struggle in within our deen that we're trying to get out. Just think that, you know, sometimes these are things that we've been working on ourselves for decades, and sometimes for years, and just can't get it out. And the reason is just because we think that it's a very easy thing, but it's a very, very deep thing. You know, people say, oh, you know, I can't control my gaze, and I've been working on not going to wrong websites. Well, I mean, a person has been dealing with this since the age of 13, and now they're 45. I mean, that should tell you that, you know, they think, oh, I'm almost there. And they think, oh, I just need to get serious about this. And I'm going to, you know, email Sheikh, and, you know, one of these days I'm really just going to knock this out. Well, it's not that simple. If something has been there for 30 years, in fact, one of the mashayikh I recently talked to, he said, you know, it's just not in a practical sense. He said, oh, it's just not treatable because the fail rate is just so high. It's not that it's not treatable. I mean, for every disease, there's a cure. Physical ailments and also for spiritual ailments, you know, there is a cure. But whether a person will actually take the medicine, you know, carry out to it, and it's really an uphill struggle. And the same thing applies, you know, across the board. If a person wants to sleep less, a person wants to stop backbiting, a person wants to, you know, stop lying, a person wants to stop any deception, a person wants to... whatever, stop slandering others and are playing, you know, are being deceptive and wants to become straight in their financial transactions. A person wants to have more taqwa in the way that they interact with, you know, with other individuals in the community. All of these things, you know, a person thinks is very close within hand, but it's actually very hard. And to give you an idea of how hard it is that, you know, the sad reality is even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to show someone, for example, in their dream, they were able to see Jannah, and they were to see a dream, and they were able to see Jahannam, you know, they would wake up in the morning, and they would just be, you know, any one of us would be super shaken up. But it would not necessarily be enough to change our patterns of behavior. And it's very likely that we would, you know, maybe in a week, maybe in 2 weeks, maybe in a month, fall into this same normal life, you know. Okay, we got to go to Target, you know. Okay, let's go to Walmart. Oh, let's take the kids to Disney World. I mean, it would, even though that's always there in the back of your head, you've seen it, it's a reality, it's coming. Things don't change. Why is it? Because our tentacles are so deeply entrenched in the dunya. And so if something is this, you know, difficult of a disease, and this deep of a disease, a person sometimes might think, feel helpless, that how could I ever overcome this particular disease? And one of the ways, and one of the most powerful ways in which to treat this, and it's not, you know, and honestly, you know, if a person says, okay, I'm just going to start praying 5 times a day, you could start praying 5 times a day, but if this right depth is not there in the prayer and the right khushu is not there, so on and so forth, your person might not see the same type of turning away from the thing. And then, you know, to get that khushu and khudu is again fighting against the nafs. And if you don't have, you know, the wherewithal to do that in the first place, then how are you going to pray that type of prayer that really benefits and elevates a person spiritually? Not to say that prayer is not a powerful medicine for this, but experientially speaking, you know, there's people who sit all day in madrasa reading Quran, but then their hearts are like completely engrossed in the dunya. That's all they are. There's people who spend all day teaching hadith and their hearts are completely engrossed in the dunya, or at least in certain aspects of the dunya. So experientially, we know that just, you know, that on the surface doesn't necessarily do the trick. That you need some, you know, other medicines as well. One of the most powerful medicines in this regard is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to do actually some extensive zikr. Not just, you know, doing some tasbih after salah, but actually sitting down for 15 minutes, for half an hour, for an hour, and really just getting into a person's zikr. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah azim, sending salawat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la ilaha illallah. And we can derive, you know, sort of obliquely, but derive nonetheless this principle from when the Prophet ﷺ, he advises, "Uskuru hadimillat," that remember, right? So there is an idea of remembering, of thinking, hadim al-lazat, right? Remembering death. And actually one of the lessons that exists in one of the other turuq is the muraqabat al-mawt. That they, you know, the mashayikh, they would actually have their students sit and actually do muraqabah. And you think about, you know, that I'm, you know, they're putting my coffin and, you know, they're doing my ghusl, and then I'm being lowered in the grave and I'm sitting in the grave, and how will it be? And this type of visualization, this process of, you know, it's one type of muraqabah, but it's a dhikr. So why was dhikr mentioned? Because it is when you remember death, then it resets and it recontextualizes everything. The other reason that dhikr in a more general sense works is that when a person starts making dhikr, this is just one of the nur enters into the heart of the believer. The afaman sharaha Allahu sadrahu nuruhu lil Islam, afaman sharaha Allahu sadrahu li nuri afaman sharaha. What is it? So in any case, there is a sharhi sadr. There is an opening of the chest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala casts a nur within the chest. And when the nur comes into the breast of an individual, then there's the sign of that is a person to the jafi and darul khurud, that person turns away from the life of this dunya. Well, and they turn towards darul khulud, from the place that they're going to stay for forever. And that's just one of the signs. The other thing that happens when a person engages in dhikr, that a person increases in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the heart is a confined vessel, that when the this is sort of just the back end, what's happening on the back end, the metaphysics of it. And whether you understand it or not, it doesn't really matter. It's just to, you know, provide a little bit more holistic understanding. But since the heart is a contained vessel, it has a nature abhors a vacuum. So it's going to get filled with the love of something. And the job of the heart is to love. And so what's going to happen is that when a person starts making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person increases in their love for the thing that they mention. And this is sort of a reciprocal relationship that exists, that a person remembers that thing that they love, and the thing that they remember, their love for that thing also grows. So you know, it might be that if a person, you know, for example, they love horses, then all they do is talk about horses. But say a person wasn't really into horses, but they start hanging around people who talk about horses. They start talking about horses themselves, and all the time, all they're doing is just, you know, talking about, reading about, sleep, you know, thinking about horses. Eventually, they're going to start liking horses. It's going to create love within the heart. And so, when a person does the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala and remembers Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, then it creates the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala within the heart, and that pushes out the love of the dunya, because there's just no space for it, right? ما جاء الله لرجل من قلبين في جوفي. You can only have one heart, and as that love of the dunya gets pushed out, as it's filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person will see the signs of that there will be a decrease in hubb al-dunya. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us among us those who are able to remember death frequently, and to increase themselves in dhikr, such that it becomes a sabab for the nur to enter into our hearts, to increase our iman, and importantly remove the love of the dunya from our heart, that type of love of the dunya that distracts us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and takes us towards sin. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.